the body communicates to the brain, and if you're storing tension, if we can stretch, compress, and release it, when your body relaxes, it tells your mind, I'm safe. We can chill out.
Hi, and welcome to the Chat TCG podcast. I am Paula Sabaga, financial advisor on the TCG and Associates team at UBS Financial Services. We are located in Columbia, South Carolina, and can be reached at 803-873-9850. Our guest on the podcast today is Shannon Watson. Shannon is a registered nurse with over 14 years' experience specializing in enhancing human performance through stretch therapy, restorative yoga, and mindfulness. Shannon is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services, Inc., and her views are her own. Hey, Shannon, thank you for being on the podcast today. Just talking a little bit about athletes that you work with. What have you learned from working with high-performing athletes that you've been able to apply to your own life?
I think the most impact that this has all had on me is just how inspiring they are, how hard they really, truly, at the highest levels, work. I think they constantly inspire me to not quit. I mean, they have to show up every single day, work hard every single day. I think the lessons that come out of the daily grind of competing at a D1 or professional level, what that actually takes, just being around that energy day after day after day, just seeing that is so inspiring, I think, for all of our lives. No matter what we're trying to do, whether it's in business or even just in school, it's just that nonstop show up every single day for a dream. I mean, these people have a dream to play and to compete and to perform at a certain level where they're going to make an income from it. And it translates so great into everything else. So I'm just so motivated by their energy, the fact that even when we talk about injury and pushing through exhaustion and burnout, all of the things I think a lot of people experience, they are just sort of a magnified version of those lessons that translate to me. It's like show up every single day, come into work early anyway. They're always grinding towards a goal. I mean, it's just inspiring to be around and to watch them come in day after day. And it just always reminds me to do the exact same thing.
Right. And even though they're competing on the field and for their team, I feel like a lot of that is internal. They're really like trying to be there and be better than they were the day before.
They truly have to have an intrinsic internal motivation and keep learning how to cultivate that and how to refresh that and how to restore that. And I think that's where the mental mindfulness and breath work and recovery piece fits so well into athletics. But yeah, they are definitely disciplined, and they have to find the discipline and find the motivation when it's not there, which I have to do too.
Right.
I'm not always motivated to get up and stretch a bunch of people or go in and teach a bunch of classes or do the back end of work, the administrative tasks, the meetings, the marketing, all of that stuff.
Right.
It's like, can you take the same mindset that these athletes use every day and then let it spill into my work? How can it spill into my day, my daily work? So yeah, they're really inspiring, I think.
That's awesome. Have you noticed the differences between college athletes and pros and how they approach recovery and wellness?
I love that question because recovery and wellness in sports is all over the place. And I think it's been an emerging field for a while. I've worked in the recovery and the wellness, kind of like the mental, mind, body field in athletics for about 8 years. And it is emerging and changing. And each team is different. Each level is different. But even when you get to a pro level, their recovery programs and culture is different from team to team to team, from coach to coach to coach, and from athlete to athlete to athlete. Their individual approaches, how they recover, what they're doing to recover is different all across the board. And the same thing with college sports. It's different within universities. It's different within each sport. It's different depending on the coaches they have, right, the training staff they have, the resources they have, the culture. A lot of it comes down to the culture of it. Who is in charge of recovery for a college athlete?
Right.
So it's just all over the place.
So that leads to this question. What's the biggest misconception people have about athletes and their flexibility or recovery routines?
I think the public doesn't see enough of right, what it's like every single day for an athlete. I don't think they truly get an inside, behind the scenes peek at right, what their minds and bodies go through and what it takes to stay playing,
right,
to stay functioning. Like, what actually do they have to do? And that's what I find interesting.
Yeah. What comes to my mind is when you hear of maybe a football player who's so masculine and strong, mm-hmm, and then you hear that he does ballet,
right,
or he takes a Pilates class.
Yeah. And I think that is starting to happen more, mm-hmm, and more. They're starting to challenge themselves. So like going to a bar class for a football right, player, or a Pilates class for a football player, or restorative yoga class, or any of these other areas is making them stronger in non-conventional ways and
right,
giving them edges that translates into their performance on the field in a non-conventional way. And it is
right,
interesting to see. And I love listening to what their experiences are like.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's great. Nursing is such a wide field. What inspired you, Shannon, to transition into working with athletes through assisted stretch?
So when I was practicing as a nurse, I also was coaching fitness classes, cycling classes, and I was tasked with developing a recovery class, an athletic recovery class, with these emerging products, these consumer products that were emerging into the field of recovery. The company's name is Hyper Ice, and they were launching vibrating foam rollers, the percussion guns. They were just starting to come out with these consumer products, the Viper sphere ball for releases.
Right.
And the facility that I worked with wanted me to develop a program for that. And so I started to do the research on what is athletic recovery. Like, what are the components of athletic recovery and what are these products? And then I already was practicing, had a yoga practice and had been practicing for almost 20 years. And so I went to take the evidence that existed in the traditions of yoga that works for the body and the mind,
right,
and started blending them all together to try to create something that would care for the mind and the body and the health of an athlete or somebody who was just working out a lot, because we were doing this in a regular gym. This wasn't, at first, it wasn't for athletes.
Right.
And so that is, I think it's very similar to nursing.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's just not in the hospital.
Right. Creating that recovery plan. And I feel like that's probably when I first met you it was a bar class.
Yes.
You did a recovery class for us at bar.
Yes. And, yeah.
I loved it.
Yep. I was going into the workout scenes were really, really focused on working out 5-6 days a week really hard. And nobody had any kind of like a downshifting class.
Right.
Like, you know, everybody's working out a lot and getting hurt still. And
right,
no one had this like take care of our body downshift class that was going to help support people working out 5 and 6 days a week.
Right.
People that wanted to do bar 6 days a week or wanted to come to cycling classes all the time, they were doing it, but they didn't have any of the other protocols or practices in place to keep their bodies functioning for a long time.
Right.
So that's kind of how it all started.
That's interesting. I love it. Can you share the story of your first athletic client and what that experience was like?
So I was teaching the recovery classes in a regular gym, but I was starting to work out with a trainer at an athletic performance facility. So I had developed a relationship with this trainer. He was lifting me. I was showing up and working out with him. And we were, you know, he knew what I was doing. And one day, I showed up for a workout, and I think he forgot I was supposed to be there. I think he just forgot I was coming to train, and he was training a group of football players, and he looks at me like, oh, yeah, okay, Shannon, come on in. Just jump in this workout.
Okay.
So I was like, I just knew it was one of those moments when I had to do the thing, and I was going to be extremely embarrassed, right?
You're like, let me get my shoulder pads on.
Yes, I knew I was going to get and it was going to be embarrassing. But I knew I had to do it, and I just had to show up. So I ended up in a workout, me and like six huge linemen, football players from USC, the University of South Carolina, and then like a guy who had played pro for like 10 years. And I did the whole workout. They ran drills, and I ran one way, and he told him to run the other way. And we just, you know, through that experience, we started to develop a relationship. And then he kind of segued it and said, these guys are going to a yin yoga class every week. One of the pros was already doing it.
Right.
And he said, hey, Shannon, you need to connect. And it just naturally started from that experience together. And then I said, well, I'm already teaching these classes twice a week. Why don't you guys come? Why don't we do a private class? And so it started as just a small class twice a week for that football group. And then the football group started adding some baseball guys in, and then some basketball guys in, and then it just started growing from there. So from my very embarrassing workout came this wonderful first group of athletes.
That's great. That's a great story for sure. How does your medical background as an RN shape the way you approach stretching differently than just a traditional trainer or coach?
So I've kind of reflected on my approach, and I think in nursing school, you're taught a nursing care plan. Everything you do is a systematic care plan. It's assessment, evaluation, make a plan for your client or your patient, implement it, and then evaluate it and go back and start again.
Right.
And in nursing school, it is hammered into. That's all we're doing. Every single patient, we do a full body assessment. We talk to them. We get their history. We find out how they feel. We look at their whole body. And then we formulate a care plan, a nursing care plan for that specific client. And then we implement it. We do it. And then we evaluate what we've just done. Was it effective? Did it work? Do I need to change my interventions?
Right.
And then we modify that care plan. And you're doing that in nursing school, and you're doing that nursing on every patient every single day. And so I think even almost subconsciously, that's how I brought that work into the work with my clients. I mean, it is the approach. They come in, we do an assessment. I talk to them about their body. I think about the whole body. I come up with an intervention. How are we going to stretch? Like, what are we doing specifically for this client? And then we do it. And then I evaluate it, ask them, you know, how they feel. And week by week or class by class, we're making the evaluations. And each time a client comes to me or each time a group comes in, I make adjustments based on the outcome. So I really think the nursing school, the nursing philosophy, the nursing care plan was so embedded in me that it's just how I do my work.
Yeah.
And then taking an evidence-based approach, taking an approach based in science. In the hospital, there's very little margin for error.
Right.
So if we make an error as a nurse or a physician, somebody gets hurt, you know, and we're really aware of that. And that's really part of the culture is if I make a mistake in this medication or this treatment, it could cost somebody their life in the most extreme case, but also there could be harm done to them. So I think I have like kind of a perfectionist approach, not really perfectionist, but like what I want to do and what I am bringing to people has to be effective.
Right.
You know, do no harm. And so I took that approach when trying to develop the classes, and the work that I do is like, it's got to be effective with little mistakes based in science and evidence of what is going to really truly work.
Right. And then when people feel like it's working, it's easier to stick to, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you make adjustments if it's not working.
Right, right. So going over back over to the athlete role, so you've worked with, we talked about both college and pro athletes. Is there a memorable story that captures the intensity or dedication of these clients?
I don't know if I have like one specific memorable story, but every day they're dedicated. I mean, and if they are not, they don't get the opportunity to play.
That's true.
I mean, every single day is their expression of their dedication. I mean, they're up early. They grind all day, especially, I think, at the college level.
Right.
I don't think the general public understands quite as much about what the college experience is really like for a student athlete. I mean, they are managing both school, college.
Right, which is a full-time duty.
Yeah, which is really hard for many students.
Right.
And they are trying to compete and perform at a high level for the sport. So it's almost like they're doing two full-time jobs.
Right.
At the exact same time.
Right.
That takes an immense amount of dedication from all of them every single day.
Right. And I can't imagine, too, what they're eating or not eating, you know, to try to stay fit and, you know, as strong as they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of stress. Have you ever had an athlete that could barely move or, you know, with an injury and then left completely different after a session or several sessions?
One of the most remarkable stories I have is from a former college golfer. So played competitive college golf, and he continued to golf recreationally, like just because as a joy, and two, three times a week. And his back pain and combined back and hip pain was starting to affect his golf. He could no longer get in and out of the golf cart. When he first came to me, he was like, you know, he was already seeing a physician who was getting his back pain treated. And he was coming to me to add stretch and releases and into that entire treatment plan with his physician. And through, you know, time and consistency with the program, he went from, you know, he would say, Shannon, I would get to, you know, halfway through my golf game and I can't get in and out of the golf cart without a ton of pain. Like, this is really impacting me doing the things I love to do.
Sure, yeah.
And through the consistency of him showing up and doing the work and doing the stretching, the releases, and some time, his back pain is completely gone. I mean, he has got it to a level where it is totally managed. I mean, he can golf. He feels great. He can, you know, he has no complaints. I mean, it is like night and day. And so those are the stories that are so inspiring to me of like, my why. Why are you doing this? Like why show up? Why do this work? And it's that stuff that's so important.
Wow. Thank you. I'm sure athletes can be tough clients, though. How do you get through to the ones who are skeptical about stretch?
So I work in so many different areas. I work with the professional athletes, and then I have the college-level athletes. And I think it takes understanding the difference of the work. So, like, if I'm teaching a public class, if I'm teaching a group class in a gym, or I'm just stretching somebody one-on-one, they want to be there. They chose to come to that class. They paid for it, and they showed up because they wanted to. Right. They may or may not come back after the class. You know, if they decide, you know, I didn't like that, I'm not going to come back. And that's just the way it is when someone is freely coming to do the work.
But
the professional athletes, they're paying on their own to work with me. So they want to work with me.
Right.
They're not being, it's not mandatory.
They're seeing the value.
Yeah, they are choosing to be there. So it's usually not difficult. But when you go into college athletics, which I think a lot of people don't know this, the NCAA regulates the amount of work hours that a team can give each athlete. So they can only work them out, which means like strength and conditioning workouts, practice schedule, things like that. They are mandated only 20 hours a week. That's the highest level. So my work is considered part of that if they're going to make it mandatory.
Okay.
So in order to get compliance and people to show up all the time and really get the benefit from the work, it should be mandatory.
Right.
So when something is mandatory for a group of 35 young people, maybe not everybody loves it. Or right. Maybe not everybody wants to do it in that moment, especially when they're working really hard and they're tired and they just don't feel like it. But it's mandatory because the team has made it part of the mandatory workouts. So in those experiences, you do have some people that may not want to be there, and or they're not taking it as serious because it's not something they are bought in on 100% yet. Like if it's a new practice for the team. So I'll have, like I've had in the past, you know, athletes will start to get really, really distracted during class, which can be disruptive to me and disruptive to the rest of the people practicing, but it's just the reality of it. And other things, I've had athletes, you know, may just not want to be there that day, whatever, and they'll just lay there. And
they're like, I don't need a downward dog on the football
field. Yeah, we are not doing that today. I am not here for this. So those moments are moments that I understand, and it's an opportunity to practice the true mindfulness practice of me noticing how it's making me feel, because I have a job to do.
Yeah.
I have consistency to maintain. I have to perform at a high level. And so when there's one person in this group that it obviously doesn't feel like being there today, that I could let that affect how I do the job. So I just practice the mindfulness practice. I'm noticing my thoughts in that moment. I'm noticing, am I getting frustrated because this is disruptive to the whole group? And then I just have to make the choice to continue to coach, to continue to show up, to just, you know, get
back to your breath.
Yes, get back to my breath, come back to my practice. So you know, when it's mandatory, when it's with young kids, when it's the college level, you know, then it gets more challenging and you just get through it. You just show up and you do the work and, you know, you get through it. Phones can be a distraction,
right?
You know, to that age group a lot of times. So, but you just power through, and the ones who want to be there get what they're supposed to, and the other ones may or may not that day.
That's true. Can you share a moment when your work directly impacted an athlete's ability to perform, maybe even, you know, saving their season?
I think most of the athletes I've worked with directly through the season, they haven't had like catastrophic injuries.
Right.
A lot of them deal with, you know, they're going to have strains and sprains and things that pop up throughout the season. And my work really is about mental performance,
right,
slowing down, regulating the nervous system. Mm-hmm. So we are, when they have a practice or a game, their central nervous system has a high load on it in the stress side. And so my work is there to help them reset their nervous system,
right,
recover faster, accelerate recovery in their body by coming down, by doing the deep breath work. So I haven't had this like huge, you know, turnaround with athletes. It's more of the maintenance with them. It's more of the impact that it has for them daily and the long term. I have had some, you know, I've had some baseball players with scoliosis who are really trying to manage back pain.
Wow.
They're really showing up to these classes to get the breath work, to stretch their tissues. Part of the stretching and the breath work that's so beneficial for an athlete because of the load on their bodies is that stretch can break spasm. That's important for anybody who's having muscle spasms, is to learn to stretch those tissues. Mm-hmm. If you can break the spasm cycle, so it goes spasm, contraction, tightness, pain, if we can use stretch protocols to continually take care of the body, and breath work does the same thing by relaxing the muscles,
right,
we can prevent further pain.
Wow. And that really seems like it's something that would benefit almost everybody. So I guess, how often do you see that stretch is overlooked by just the average person? And then why do you think it's so important for everyone, not just these athletes?
I think people are trying to do a lot. And I think people are really busy. I think our lives are really busy right now. And so I think people may know that they're They're trying to prioritize physical exercise. They're trying to lose weight.
Right.
They're trying to show up for work. They're trying to manage kids. And those things become the disciplines they're really working hard to do every day. And so the small things, like, they may not understand the true benefit of the breath work, the true benefit of having a good stretch protocol as a tool or as a practice. And so I think they're just really trying to do these other things. And the stretch protocols, the breath work gets kind of sidelined.
Right.
As just one, because it's just sometimes I think for people, it can feel like one more thing I have to do.
Yeah. When you're already overloaded.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are like, I can't add anything else.
Right.
But when what I think the shift that needs to happen is that when people start to understand how beneficial stretch and breath work is for not just your immediate health, but your long-term health, the true benefits of what it does. Everybody just, I think, links stretch with, oh, it's just injury prevention, or it's just something I'm supposed to do right after I work out. It's like water. Right. I always tell people, like, everybody's like, I know I need to drink more water. I know I need to stretch more. So people really need to look at their schedule, understand how important this stuff is, and carve out tiny moments for it, intentional moments.
Right. So to that point, what would you recommend for someone, you know, like me, that I'm at a desk a lot of the day? So what are some things people can do to kind of fit it in to where they are in their career, in their day?
So most of us are spending so much time sitting. I think if you're sitting in an office on a desk and you have access to a phone or a computer, my first advice would be sign up for my virtual program. And then if you're going to use it in the workplace, I have a virtual program online. They're on-demand classes. The classes were birthed from my work with the University of South Carolina men's basketball team, who gave me 8 weeks only to work with the team preseason. So I thought, I got to get as much as I possibly can in 8 weeks. We got to do the whole body. We got to do all the breath work. We got to really make this thing good. So I took it and made it into 8 weeks, recorded it high quality. I've got it online. It's a resource for international athletes, for traveling athletes, for teams, and for coaches, and for people to do anywhere. So the person that's in the office, the person that's traveling a lot for work, or if you're, most of your time is sitting at a desk and you have access to a computer or to a phone, get the virtual program and start with the seated segments. Some of the classes towards weeks, I think there's descriptions on every class, but I believe it's weeks 6, 7, and 8, where there's all these seated sequences. I'm sitting on a mat, but those seated sequences can be done from a desk,
Right.
So my advice to people is, like, set an intention to pause once or twice a day and start taking care of these muscles. Do these seated stretch sequences right from your desk. Maybe set a timer. Maybe make a sticky note. Pull the program up on the computer and just follow it from watching your monitor that you're staring at anyway.
Right.
Pull it up on your phone, right? Or you're there anyway.
Yeah, just schedule that 10 minutes, you know, into your day.
Yes. Yeah. And like people, and it's not just people at desks, dentists, chefs, surgeons, all of us are forward folding. We're bringing our knees up, which is shortening the muscles on the front of the thighs. We're shortening our hip flexors, which pulls on the back, which can give you back pain. So everything on the front is shortening when you're spending time at a desk.
Yeah.
So absolute most important thing is to start opening the anterior chain, the muscles that run along the front of your body, keeping those open.
Right.
So really doing chest openers, twists, if it's okay with your body, if your body can handle twists, you can do those seated in a chair, but really it's time under tension. So holding those stretches for 30 seconds or a minute, doing the breath work with them, reducing the stress of the job, releasing the tension, noticing during the work day, if you're getting worked up and saying, you know what, I am stressed out. I'm going to pause. I'm going to do a little bit of breath work. I'm going to do a little bit of stretching. And then consistently doing that over time will prevent the pain. It's going to refresh you. The breath work is going to make you feel better. It's going to relax your muscles. It's going to release the tension. It's going to do what it's designed to do.
Right. And hopefully put a little pause between if you're getting frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People can do, you know, once you start getting into the breathwork practice from a professional standpoint, it makes mindfulness practice, the formal practice, the discipline of it, can make you more creative at work, come up with better ideas. I mean, we have to be cultivating creativity in the professional workplace,
right.
Decreasing stress. I mean, there's such an edge, reducing pain, improving your sleep. There's a performance aspect for professionals in this that's huge.
Right.
And it can be done from the desk.
Yeah, very true. Have you noticed a mental shift in your clients, not just physical, but after consistent stretching sessions?
Yes. I mean, the body communicates to the brain and the brain down to the body. And if you're storing tension in your body, if we can stretch, compress, and release it, and you can do that through stretch and through the breath work, down regulating breath work, when your body relaxes, it tells your mind, I'm safe,
right.
I'm relaxed, we can chill out. And then all of a sudden, everything feels better, you know?
So it's true.
Like, yeah, it's like a little hack. It's like release the body tension, relax the body. The body's going to tell the mind you're relaxed, and then the nervous system all of a sudden feels great.
Right.
You know?
As soon as I do that, though, my body's like, it's time for a nap. Yeah. No, this stuff is really good, so helpful. What have your clients taught you about resilience, healing, or even slowing down in your own life?
I think being observing high-performing individuals and seeing behind the scenes how much they need some stillness, some moments of nervous system reset, regeneration, just small moments. I need it in my life. Pursuing a mindfulness practice has shown me that I need that anyway. And then observing, you know, these highly successful individuals and seeing what that, the demands of that can do to the mind and the body, knowing they need this practice and that I need this practice too. And then seeing the benefit translate from both lives, you know, it's just, I know it's necessary.
Yeah.
I know people need to downregulate more.
Right.
I've seen what it's done in my own life and my own body. And then I've seen what it can do in my clients' lives and their bodies. And so it just pushes me to share and educate more.
Right. And I know the stretching, you know, over these last few years, it's helped me incredibly. Just there's so much stress, you know, with being a mom, you know, having a career, everything's demanding, you know, you're always busy, and it's nice to just take that little pause. So I'm glad you
even
share
if you
that.
Have to force yourself by paying for the
right.
pause, paying for the appointment.
Yes.
Sometimes that's why I think people come to the classes with me, is because sometimes you just need to show up somewhere and have someone just lead you through it.
Yes.
You have to make yourself start to do it.
Right.
And then you start to feel the effects, and then that reinforces it and makes you want to do more of it. But it's almost like you have this little mountain, this little edge you have to get over.
Yeah.
And once you start to show up and you start to feel it, it motivates you to do it more.
Right. And I know I tend to be the one that makes all the decisions, and I'm in charge a lot. So it's nice to have that time where I'm just here as the student, and I'm being told how to do it, what to do.
Yes, you can finally shut the brain down.
Right.
You know, you can finally not be the one that's doing the thinking and doing the deciding. And it's that when you're in that mode, you have that, you know, that just you're on.
Yeah.
You're just on. And it is so important for people to be able to step into a space where they can just shut it off for a little bit.
Right.
It's good for your brain. It's good for your body. It's good for your soul. And sometimes it takes, you know, joining a program or showing up for a coach.
Right.
You know, someone to lead you through it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, looking ahead, where do you see assisted stretch fitting into the future of sports and performance and just individuals?
There's a lot of assisted stretch in the sports world already. So physical therapists add a little bit of add assisted stretch. Athletic trainers add assisted stretch. Some of the strength coaches add stretch. It exists. It's translating more now into the general population, our understanding how good it truly is for the body and how great it feels to stretch and be stretched and how important it is. I think the biggest piece is the mental mindfulness and breath work and combining them together for a whole body, you know, mind approach.
Right.
I think we're at the forefront with athletics, where the athletes and people in general are starting to understand they really would benefit from this stuff and are going, I think coaches are more open to it. I think rehab programs are more open to it. I think physicians and medical staff is more open to it. And so I just see it growing. And I'm curious to see where it goes.
Yeah. So what's next for you in your stretching and nursing, kind of in your field? What's on the horizon?
So right now I am doing more professional breath work and mindfulness coaching, where I am developing pros breath work routines, the pregame routine, the post-practice routine, the post-lift, the nightly like sleep optimization, the deep relaxation. I'm really working one-on-one with these athletes to cultivate their breath work and their mindfulness and their mental practice. When do they do it? How do they do it? I'm, you know, developing their schedules and going with them through a season and an off season. And they're using a combination of my virtual program, which has audio guided relaxations, which are, they're non-REM deep rest sessions. They're about 6 to 10 minutes. They're a progressive guided relaxation and breath work. And they're using a combination of those at strategic times in the day. And then they're doing virtual work with me, where we show up and we dig in a little deeper. We're doing the sitting practice and the breath work, the mindfulness week by week by week. And so I am loving that. That is part of the work that I love and I'm doing more of and getting to do more of right now. And just kind of doing the nervous system work, the reset when people have these high stress loads or high stress days. Getting that breath work in there, getting the deep relaxation in there, and just going day by day and watching it grow and change and help them. I am developing new class programs, which I will do in person here in Columbia. I want to serve the people struggling with back and hip pain, where they do not have specific classes they can go to every week to get a gentle program that's safe for them and effective.
Right.
So I'm hoping in the spring to launch maybe like a 4 or 6 week group session where we're really working through the spine.
Oh, that's great.
And the spine runs, you know, through your neck, mid back and low back and hips. And so trying to really develop an evidence-based, effective program for those people who are either done with physical therapy or maybe on a combination of injections and working out, or they're somewhere in their treatment where it's, you know, this is part of their maintenance for their back. So I hope to do that in the spring. We are getting we're going to get a couple places in Columbia that have sauna and cold tubs.
Oh, and that's
so
exciting.
Yeah, so those spaces are coming into the city where individuals can go and experience contrast therapy.
Right.
So I'm going to go up to New York and do some studying and experience some work from other professionals, and then hopefully I'll bring it back here and do some pop-ups where we're doing breathwork and cold immersion and guided down regulation in heat. So bringing it into the sauna, and that's part of athletic recovery, but the general population is starting to experience these places too. So I hope to do some of that coming.
That's exciting.
Yeah, towards the summer. Will you come?
Yes. Yes, that sounds great. Yeah, we've been talking about the cold tubs here. So,
and there's a limit to space in some of the saunas, so it would be a great thing for like a work group to do.
A smaller group.
There's a whole networking scene, professional networking scene that is starting to emerge in these communal wellness clubs in bigger cities. Yeah. They're starting to have these wellness clubs and they're becoming social spaces. They're becoming professional networking spaces. What is normally on the golf course down here is starting in some of these other cities to
and
move
a cold
into
tub.
a cold tub sessions. And so there's a lot of really interesting team building that's going on with breath work. And like, how can you improve the dynamics between maybe a quarterback and a receiver, or the team dynamics, or human to human dynamics, and between synchronizing breath?
Yeah.
Like, what does, when we really get together and do breath work together and synchronize our breath, because it's we're seeing that our nervous systems kind of bounce off of each other. So if one person's really stressed in the room, your nervous system picks up on that. And then you start to feel the stress.
Right.
So what would happen if we got a team together and we're doing this down-regulating breath and movement as a group? How do we shift dynamics? How do we get stronger as a team together? Right. How do we synchronize this stuff together in a way that's really going to like benefit the team? So that's where I'm headed.
That's exciting. Yeah. I can't wait to hear more about it.
To have UBS.
Yes. Cold tub at UBS. Yeah. Well, thank you, Shannon, for sharing some of your practice and your stories. And where can people find more about you if they want to learn more?
So the first place to go would be my website. It's www.swatsonsolutions.com. On the website, you can join any of my programs. You can just do the 8-week program. You can do the monthly option. You can get annual unlimited. Pro Breathwork Development is up there. It's all under the Total Body Reset. You can follow my Instagram. I post stretches and, you know, tips and a lot of just kind of random small bits on there. It's at Shannon Watson 825. You can sign up for my email newsletter. I don't send a lot of emails out. I really just, if I'm doing an in-person event or have something important happening, I'll send out an email. I try not to overwhelm. I just, I'm like, I get enough emails. We're getting enough emails.
Too
so if
many.
You sign up for the emails, it's going to be maybe for a year or something like that. When I launch the back pain class, it'll come out. So those are the best places to find me. Shoot me a message. If you have questions, send me an email. I look forward to doing more groups here in town.
Yes. Yep.
That's it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you sharing.
Thank you.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.